to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tanani, Mr. Will Michaels, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 375, Dow futures down 29, NASDAQ futures down 11. Lou, how are you, bud?
I'm doing okay. It's early afternoon over here now, so...
I thought you were in country here for a few weeks.
I'm beginning to think when I realize how early it is back there and how early it was in Denver that I'm crazy for doing this, but over here it's not quite so bad.
Well, we're all crazy. That's why we do it. So you just figured that out, or what?
Well, I did. I just figured it out. I think I was so tired when I was getting up. And again, I'm not complaining because when I was in Chicago, I had to get up at, I think I had to get up at 4:10 to make the 5:05 train or whatever heck it was coming in from Aurora, and with enough time to walk over. So, yeah, I'm not complaining. And the weather was a lot worse too.
Well, we have now the November vortex. That's why we're a tad late this morning. We're sliding in on ice still on all these streets, and it's sort of crazed. I mean,
yeah, you know, one of the things that I really found bizarre about Denver is that they do not plow the streets unless they get a lot of snow, like more than 8 inches, I think, and it's a total nightmare. So, you know, it doesn't take more than 3 or 4 inches of snow if you're not clearing the streets to turn into mush and ice and everything else. And I think now, because they've had all that immigration from California, about half the population is out there driving around in Priuses and, you know, Volts and things like that that have absolutely no business on a snow-covered or ice-slicked road. And so it's a real adventure getting in there. I mean, it's just the traffic situation on any kind of snow day is terrible there. And it's pretty frustrating, as you know, coming from Chicago, where the, you know, one snowflake touches the street and there's salt everywhere.
Well, I'm going to say the salt guys. I did not see a salt guy. This was you don't usually get a storm here in November where ice sticks. I mean, usually the pavement's warm. Well, this ice stuck, and it's been below freezing for what, 3 days, Manny?
At least 3 days, maybe closer to. Yeah, Sunday it was it was 40, so this is day four.
So, I mean, it's never, it is never.
That's cold for you guys.
It's never melted, and there's not a speck of salt in the streets, because, I mean, in November, you might get a little slush snow, but that's it. And the next day it's 45 and it's gone. Well, it's not gone. So, I mean, our back steps, I better pick Manny around out in front. You don't really want to walk down the back steps. The alley's still all ice. And it's like January, at least in January. You'd have a million salt trucks out, you know, dealing with it somewhat. Anyway, Lou, I wanted to, interesting, I mean, I'm sure you have stuff to talk about, but I wanted to go in a little deeper, because I don't know if, I didn't have your new email, but there's an article yesterday from this lady, Lori Ann Loracco. You think she's one of a paisan like me? It's half at least? I'm saying yes, or she married into one.
Is she local?
She's with CNBC.
Okay.
But the gist of the article is U.S. losses from Trump's China trade war will never be recovered, shipping data tells us. And she went through a whole routine in shipping data here where where you're talking about, you know, how many, well, the numbers are dramatic, how much are down in Long Beach and other places, and how some of this stuff is now going to Europe and back and forth, and China's really developing new partners. It's not a political argument at all. It's just an accounting of what's actually happening versus what people are telling you. And
does she have any numbers as to what's happening in China?
Yes, but they were worse. And they're dropping the U.S. export to China. From LA is their kind of a key port, so I don't know if that's
right.
I guess it would be, right? The Long Beach port. U.S. exports have dropped.
Long Beach, Seattle, San Diego. You know,
we're 19% down in export volume from October 2019 versus 2018. And her graphs show that the China was having kind of the same problem, but they're recovering by going to other countries. So they've got two ones here, and it's tough to read, but U.S. West Coast inbound loaded containers are down from China, but the Far East to Europe trade is up. So they've made, I'm not going to say all of it back, I don't think it's anywhere near all of it back, but they probably made some percentage of it back that there. But the what I wanted to talk to you about, I'm going to lead this into, I can't begin to talk about Powell or Trump speaking yesterday and the lies that people tell. And, you know, what is it about me, Lou, that I don't really care if somebody lies except if they're under my employ as a citizen, I care more. There's something weird about me with that. If I'm paying them, I don't really want them lying to me.
In some sense, you've been desensitized to lies by politicians over the last 30 years. One of the really interesting things that I've noticed about our internet news linkage is that it's a lot faster, it's a lot more, it's a lot easier to get, you know, what people said, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago and get that out in front of people. And when they say, you know, X, Y, and Z happened, it's a lot easier to call them on it.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot easier to call people on all kinds of stuff. And I think that has, to a certain extent, desensitized us to it, because it has made us aware of just how blatant and obvious the falsehoods are. So I understand why you're desensitized. Okay, so you're desensitized a little bit to this unless people are working for you. I get that.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that, you know, Jay Powell, even though he doesn't make that much money in that spot, for him saying this is okay, and this is the inflation number. Look, the weather's been so bad here the last three Saturdays since I've talked forever about areas of inflation I think are killing the middle class, what's left of it. And I actually did a bunch of research on it instead of just my opinion. The weird part is I found out the reality of it was even way worse than my sense of what it was in three areas, both lower education, higher education, and healthcare. And the weird part, they're all somewhat the same, but I don't want to get into that. My anxiousness to have you on is one of the things that I think the younger people sense with this Elizabeth Warren situation and the wealth tax. And of course, everybody on earth, and I'd love to have Leon Cooperman on just to talk to him about it. I think he's a pretty reasonable guy, but I think, Lou, that an awful lot of people feel that a lot of the wealth that was created was ill-gotten. And they don't look at things like you and I do. I mean, people say, when I say this, of course, if somebody listens to the show, they're going to say, Chief guy wants this wealth tax. No, I don't. And people must know by now that I traded 18 years on a trading floor, and I never was jealous of somebody who spent more hours in the pit or put more money, that made more money. But that's not the way to say this, though.
I think I always come back when we get into these discussions about relative wealth. I always come back and fall back on, and maybe Maddie can find this, Richard Pryor's old routine about the preacher who you know is talking in front of his flock, and I think he's modeled on some guy named the Reverend Ike, but I'm not sure. But it's Pryor at his best, and he's not dropping, you know, F-bombs and awful things, racist comments in the middle of this. He just says, you know, some of you people are talking about, you know, when I come up and ask for money, you say, why don't you sell some of those fine cars that you've got, and sell that jewelry that I see you wearing, and sell that watch that you've got on, and sell some of them fine clothes that you've got. And then he pauses for comedic effect and goes, and that's very easy for you to say because you have none of these things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the timing on it is just perfect, but it's, I think, captures, you know, what is happening right now. I think everybody, I was reading the attacks on Bill Gates. We talked about that, I think, last week. And I am just stunned that people are going after Bill Gates for not being willing to just give everything to everybody, and you know, somehow actually holding on to wealth that he has in fact earned, as far as I can tell, and just, you know, denigrating every aspect of what you and I would consider to be the American success story in favor of some kind of government-driven socialist paradise that you and I, because we're students of history, know never existed and doesn't exist now.
I'm with you. You know, I'm with you on that. I just, why all of a sudden have people sort of feel that way? Well, you know, I'll give you two examples. And one of the things, one of my classes at University of Chicago was a behavioral science class. And the dude who taught the class, it was one of those ones you just had to take. It was some sort of I don't know if it was ethics or what it was. It was some kind of weirdo thing that you had to take between the accounting and the finance, right? And the guy got into all these different subjects. And one of the subjects was crime and punishment. And he said, if you take away the murders, the stabbing of the girlfriends and the boyfriends and those kinds of things, and the rapes, which are crimes of, you know, violence, not sex, virtually all other crime is rational. In terms of, I'm going to try and do this. Somebody's got it. I want it. I'm going to take it. And he says, most people have an idea that, what are my chances of getting caught and what happens to me if I do? You know, he's not saying that these guys are geniuses, but he says they're pretty much rational. So at the very least, you have to figure out that the penalty needs to be, if it's all cash, needs to be whatever the person took divided by the chance of getting caught. So if you got
That's an economic way of looking at deterrence.
Right. I mean, but he says if people are rational, that's kind of what you're going to look at. And I will say this, in this country, Lou, in my business lifetime, and I'm sure way before, we have no ability to really judge and spank big people. And I think when you have an economy where you listen to TV all...
Jeffrey Epstein right. Got spanked.
Well, he got killed in jail, but he never... I mean,
he was murdered.
Well, I'm not talking about... what I'm saying is his operation in Florida, he ended up with a plea bargain. I'm going to say that's... I'm not going to... People messing around with kids, it's kind of out of the... I'm not talking about that with this one. What I'm saying is, I'll go back to the first example, when I was in grad school.
But Jeffrey Epstein, I think, falls right into your...
No, he doesn't.
Your model.
Those are crimes of...
Oh, yeah, he does. Perfect. That was not a crime of anything other than I like having sex with teenage girls.
I was trying to keep this cleaner.
I can exploit that into a specific economic advantage.
Oh,
and he did.
I don't just... My point is, the example I'm trying to use is, I'm going to say, somewhat clean, above the waist, for lack of a better term.
But nobody's going to listen to us if we talk about that. We have to talk about below-the-waist stuff every now and then.
No, I'm asking you a very... And I'm going to ask Maddie, too. I honestly don't know the answer, but your buddy Dr. J and I... Anyway, there was the New York Stock Exchange, there was the Board of Trade, then comes up pops the Options Exchange, which is a competitive market place, blah, blah, blah. And somebody, right about the same time, designed the NASDAQ electronic market site for stock, where a firm like PTI, if we want to become a NASDAQ level 3, we could make a market tomorrow in IBM or Cisco or you name it. Now, we may not want to, or we pick a couple small stocks, but these guys, when Professor talked about this, Lou, it was the absolute equivalent of Viagra before it was, for those guys, before it was invented. They just, their eyes lit up like if they were, whatever. And sure enough, this marketplace goes out there. Lou, was the crookedest damn thing that ever walked. It was electronic, but it was so crooked that if I had 700 shares to buy for you, and if somebody was offered at a quarter for 500, I could go pay three quarters for the 700 and say, Lou, the guy only offered 500, so I had to go somewhere else. Meanwhile, I could trade the other side with myself while I bought the 500 at a quarter from this guy. It was so crooked. I mean, it would take me a half hour to even explain the different tricks that people used on there. So all of a sudden, one day, they get caught. And they end up with five people, and they got people testifying, you know, if you, the market would be a quarter, three quarters. If you dared to offer at 5/8, they wouldn't trade with you for like a month. I mean, there were punishments for people who tried to actually compete. So all this comes out in the testimony. And it turns out, I mean, Dr. J and I are in a cab talking about this, and Jan goes, man, they're going to really get these guys. I said, Jan, how bad can they get them? He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, how much do you think people have stolen on every single share of stock for the last 12 years? And he goes, well, it's got to be an eighth. I said, okay, let's be charitable and say it's 4 cents. I go, what's the number if you find these guys 4 cents for every share of stock for the last 10 years? Jan looks at me and he goes, we're Long Island will be a tenement. It's so old, Connecticut. Lou, the numbers are so big. And the fines were in the millions of dollars, and everybody for a month on whatever was financial TV at the time talked about what an amazing fine this was and blah. I'm going to say it came out to maybe a tenth of a cent a share, Lou, and these guys made 12 and a half. I mean, you would have had to sell.
You and I have had this discussion, and you know my position on this, and that is, fines are not going to get you compliance. If you want compliance, you throw people in jail. You start throwing people in jail, and you make a big deal out of it. You convict them, and you put them in.
Who do you put in?
You convict the smaller fish. You convict the administrative assistants and the other people that were on the periphery of this thing who knew about it, or you know, so you can turn them and then you move up the food chain. And jail time is the only sentence these guys get.
But what good
does? Okay, just
Lou,
like you, they can do the numbers.
But we're talking about people that have stolen from people, and we're looking to get some of the money back. I'm going to give you a very modern day, so modern it hasn't even happened yet. But I'm going to say. I'm going to follow this Commonwealth Edison thing. I mean, you're over in Europe. Have you been following this at all? You're out of the area?
I saw the stories. I've been following the stories about the fact that one day they dumped all that money into Springfield. Yeah.
Well, okay. So at the end of the day, if Lou and Brendan are investigating this thing, and I'm doing some of the numbers, and we'll have Dr. J help me out because he's pretty good at it too. I'm going to say, Lou, that at the end of the day, you're going to find that ill-gotten $5, $6, $10 a month on an average bill for 40 years. Where the hell do you even try and get that money back? Because it's never going to go to the homeowner.
But no, you put people in jail.
How does that help Salvador, the engineer here in the building that's paid $10 a month? How does that help him?
But you're not gonna get the money back for Salvador, right?
Well, I mean, I'm saying, well, how far are you willing to go? If the chairman of Commonwealth Edison makes $5 million a year and it should have been $1 million for the last 10 years,
no,
I want the $40 million back.
I don't even look at it that way because that's their cost.
What do you mean?
I'm gonna take the Donald Trump approach, which is I'm gonna wreak havoc in here by just coming in and saying, look, I'm guessing that if I take, you know, your board of directors and your senior people, everybody that I can link to this thing through email and everything else, even if you say, look, I didn't intend to do it and I don't meet the definition of the crime, I'm going to bet, if I'm a U.S. prosecutor, that if I stand you guys up in front of a jury, that a jury's going to convict you.
Okay.
And you're going to go to jail.
You may not
go to jail for a long
time,
but you're going to go to jail.
Manny, help me here. We're talking about... We started the conversation by saying, and I'm not arguing to be argumentative, started the conversation by saying the Elizabeth Warrenites of the world, they don't look like Leon Cooperman because he has money, looks at things like every single rich person or people of wealth were somebody that invented something that worked harder than the other guys. People that I saw on the trading floor, by and large, Lou, the people made more money, worked harder, were smarter, were quicker, right? It wasn't like, you know... So, I mean, there were a couple guys who strayed the rules, and I always had a problem with that. But out of 1,000 people, I can name maybe 5 that were those kind of sleaze bags, which isn't very many. But my point is, these go from the point where they're not just criminal cases where the guy spends below average 10 years. We're talking about massive shifts of wealth from one person to another. And in this country, for some reason, if you game the system. In other words, like just what you just said, I'm going to say I want $20 million back from this guy. If he has to sell the trophy wife and the yacht and the house, I don't care, Lou. I want that money back from him, and I want to get it back to the people who deserve it. I want to be Robin Hood on this. Now, I don't care if he goes to jail.
I'm interested in stopping the conduct because you're not going to be able to make it up to those people who lost that money when they lost it.
I remember
you're not going to be able to save the guy from bankruptcy.
Remember the sting, Lou? It's never enough, but it's something.
Well, and see, my position from my perspective, from a public policy perspective, is it might be something, but a better result is deterring the conduct in the first place.
All right, so let's cut right to the crap here. Does the chairman of Commonwealth Edison get to keep all his bonuses?
For what he did
for the last 20 years
with Springfield?
Yeah.
And bribing all those people?
Yeah.
Or allegedly bribing all those people.
Right.
Well, I don't know if he did it or not, but my response would be sue the company, okay? Come in. I mean, I don't know why you can't do both. There's nothing that says we can't. You come in, you sue the company, you say, all right, we're going to recoup a portion of whatever it was that you gave us. We're going to strip that from you, and then we're going to put some of your executives in jail.
Okay, that part I get.
And,
but I'm saying the board,
okay.
Now where do you start? The board has to know, first, which is worse, they don't know or they don't care? In any case, none of those people on that board should ever be on a board again. It'll be a $1 million fine on everybody on the board.
But if you're prosecuting this, if you want to put people in jail, you've got to put together a criminal case, all right? So your criminal case has to be at least convincing enough that you can what you'd ultimately want to do is sit these guys down and say, or these men and women down and say, here's the deal. We've got enough evidence on you that if we put you up in front of a jury, given the way we know juries think about these things. We put you in front of a jury, we're going to get a conviction, and you're going to go to jail, okay? So we think that's going to happen. Your best bet to avoid that is to plead out. This is the Lori Loughner situation.
Right.
Your best bet is to plead this out. If you don't, then we're going to punish you.
And
by the way, we're going to take this much money. So if you plead out, we'll let you trade some money for jail time, but you're going to jail.
I think
you've got to have a case to be able to do that.
Lou, I'm not. First of all, everything you say, I agree with. Our debate is, we'll save it for after the break. But our debate is why the politics is turning the way it is, and I think the politics is turning the way it is because people don't think that I use the term your way is good enough.
I agree. And so.
Well, let's go to break. Let's talk about after break. SP Futures down 4.25.
He's going to pop out about Ukraine.
Dow Futures down 26. NASDAQ Futures down 13. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold. The idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Socks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right
now. Hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, just about Weber of the board. Mr. Lou Michaels, we have S&P futures down 5.25 down, NASDAQ futures down 16.25. We do have Walmart up 392. They beat earnings on top and bottom. I remember the stock was $35 for like years. Now it's 124. Some of the retailers have been winners and the rest maybe not so much. Dow futures down 27. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 40.3%, FTSE down 19.2%, Kekron up to call that flat. 5909 is their whole number there. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 178, that's 0.8%. Shanghai up 4, call that flat. Hang Seng down again, down another 247, it's 0.9%. Those guys are, the unrest over there is just causing this Hang Seng market to just get clobbered now every day. Bonds 1.83, so it's down again a little bit at 10-year yield. Bund minus 0.32, they had made it to where they were minus 0.24, heading towards zero, and now they're going back the other way. Japan the same way, went to minus 0.04, thought it was going to break through by next week. I would have been wrong. Oh, now it's down 0.07. We've got gold up another $6, 1469. Silver up 10 cents, 1702. And we've got oil up 52 cents, 5764, which is high as we've seen it now in quite a while. Brent up 63 bucks. Natural gas up 6 cents, 266. RBOB 164. Matty, we have for Trevi Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash on the south side, I-57 northbound, just before the CalSag channel. That's blocking the left lane, causing stop-and-go traffic coming up I-57, so keep that in mind. But no issues coming in on the Dan Ryan, Bishop Ford, or the Stevenson. Traffic building steadily on the Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Edens, but no accidents to report, so that's good news. Northern suburbs, right lane is blocked due to a water main break, US 41 southbound at Half Day Road, which is a relatively busy area there at Route 22. So the crews are on the scene working on that, and they have been for the last hour or so, but that right lane remains blocked due to the water main break. Off of the main drags and expressways, we have a crash Route 83 at Central Avenue in the southwestern suburbs. Just northwest of that, there's a crash at Lake Street and Rawling Road that's causing some delays. And just east of there, but also on Route 83 at Foster Avenue, there is an accident. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, we should touch above freezing for the first time in a few days this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 34. Right now it's overcast and 27 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 82 today. Right now it's clear and 53. In sports, it took 8 tries, Chief, but the Blackhawks can finally say they beat the expansion Las Vegas Golden Knights. After starting out 0-7 and falling behind by 2 goals last night, the Blackhawks rallied for 5 straight tallies and held on to beat Vegas 5-3 on the road last night. Coyotes were off. In NBA basketball, Bulls were off. They're at the Bucks tonight, 7 p.m. Chicago time tip-off. Suns were off as well. They'll host the Atlanta Hawks tonight. That's a 7 p.m. Arizona time tip. Lastly, Northwestern got their first win of the 2019 season. They upset Providence 72-63.
Chief. Who's playing tonight?
In football?
Yeah.
It's the Browns and
somebody. The Browns and Steelers.
I think, yeah, Browns and Steelers.
Well, the Steelers have sure made a comeback from...
They were 1-4.
Yeah, and, death door.
Yeah, they've won, what, 3 or 4 in a row?
Without Big Ben.
Yeah, and it hasn't been because of the quarterback play, because Mason Rudolph hasn't been that good, in my opinion, but... the defense has played a lot better, and they're getting some turnovers, and they're running the ball a little bit, and they're just kind of squeaking by these wins. They look like a completely different team.
I think we should give Cleveland about another 15 number one draft picks and see how bad they can be in 5 years from now.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's won 4 in a row. They're now 5-4. Cleveland did win last week, but they're just 3-6. Yet I think Cleveland is a slight favorite at home home tonight against the Steelers.
They are. There's people who thought Cleveland would be a surprise team.
Oh yeah, Vegas had them, I think, as a favorite to win that division, and they're in third place right now, and they're not even close to Baltimore, and you could argue Pittsburgh's a lot better than them too.
It seems like we're arguing, but we're not. It's kind of a theme that the more I do my research on my economic stuff, the more I'm finding that my opinion might be right, which I don't want it to be honest with you. I'm seeing where people are looking, and the people who are paying, I honestly believe that somehow or another, these guys the gas company and electric company, in the last 15 years have managed to work our stupid state here, and I'm sure it's not just here, to where they got them right where they want them. They don't care if you ever turn your light on, Lou. It's $45 a month to get the service to your house. And it's, you know,
I look at that. I look at that. I look at the PG&E guys out in California where they made, you know, huge donations to Gavin Newsom, the California governor, and were allowed to let their infrastructure just sort of fall apart.
Lou, How is that stuff out there not underground?
I mean, not just that. How is it that, you know, Australia, of all places, has surge protectors in place that cut the power automatically whenever they get a voltage surge that causes a spark, and that's how they deal with their power, their electrical threats with wildfires. It's inexcusable, and of course, I mean, California is headed into third world status anyway.
Yeah.
And, the deterioration of its cities and the falling apart of its Central Valley, and now with the fires and the electricity cuts, I mean, you got to be kidding me. And I'm astounded, but it doesn't really surprise me given the nature of the government there, which, you know, is more concerned about other things rather than because the big donors are able to insulate themselves from these problems.
I don't know if it's the big donors.
Let me just throw out. I mean, this, some of this stuff is interrelated. I want to go back to your comment about
it's all interrelated. It's a point.
People screaming about this stuff. The problem is that you get this mix of this crazy cronyism and crony capitalism that is. Again, the natural outgrowth of the heavily regulated economy that we're in, and the intrusive government regulation that we have. This is a way for the well connected to ensure their dominance and their security. And I'm astounded that people think, well, you know, Bill Gates just needs to give his money to the government. And I'm going, yeah, like the government's going to spend it well. And it goes back again to the argument we were having last week. You know, we need to fix this problem. It's a result of our large government, so our answer will be more large government.
Well, no, I mean, you government. And I, we agree 100% on it. We both know that. I mean, I what I'm saying is there was a time, Lou, when you sit there and say, how could Elizabeth Warren even make such a bizarre threat that there should be a general wealth tax. And of course, the old fart white guys pile on like Leon Cooperman, and they give you this story about who's the nut job who's on CNBC, the Sabonis, the guy who runs around and buys companies and tells people what to do. What the hell's his name? The something something. He's got a name. Of course, everybody's got a name. But hey, oh, you don't understand. I mean, my money, I can do better with it. They go, yes, you can. That argument was made in 1919. But that's not the point. I mean, there was a time, Lou, that I would say 80% of people who had wealth had some sort of respect for it if they worked hard or had an idea, did something. Now, the percentages, people don't feel that way. They know there still are people like that. And I feel the same way. I don't know if I'm feeling younger or something, but and I know there are people like that. I know there are people that have trading systems, people that were able to, you know, somehow make money in another business, and one day when the stock market was down to 800, one day bought in. I mean, there are people with that kind of talent or that kind of luck or both that did everything straight and got money, and I have no more desire to take their money away from them than the man in the moon. But I also know that most people feel now in the economy we've had the last 10 years that if somehow somebody made 10 times more than somebody else or 1,000 times more than somebody else, they had to have, as they used to say about Bernie Madoff, they had to have an angle. And they don't respect those people.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it is a function of the publication of the tremendous wealth inequality that we have, and as you noted, the popular perception that a significant percentage of people got that way because they were able to game the system.
Right.
And you know, for every success story like Bill Gates, there's a Hunter Biden sitting out there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, that's what I mean, and that goes back to my point about Ukraine. Jonathan Turley, who you know writes as a Georgetown law professor, but he wrote a while back about the Lynch comments that somebody made, and everybody, you know, he said the funny thing about the lynching comment that the president made was that everybody jumped on him saying, "Hey, you're being insensitive, et cetera," when in fact they had all done it. Every politician, all the Democrats have been referring to, you know, impeachment as lynching since the late 90s. And Turley's point was, if you think that was bad and showing hypocrisy, wait till we get into the Ukraine, because you're going to see coming out of that, you're going to see some incredibly dubious, awful, dishonest, corrupt dealing on the parts of our power elites and their kids and their families.
I'm going to say
that Chicago look like small potatoes.
I'm going to say that every spot that we've given billions of dollars to in our lifetime, you could follow sleazebags from here of both parties going and putting their finger in that money pie in that place. Guatemala, Mexico.
Oh, I agree, but I mean the focus, of course, by the Dems is on the president and his comments in that phone call.
Well,
but what's coming out is much worse.
Okay,
with the Bidens and with Kerry and with the rest of them.
But I have a very strong feeling that if we want to put Biden and Kerry in jail, knock yourself out. It's not a get out of jail free card for Trump, because they could find other people who did the same thing. He's the president, for God's sake.
Well, I'm holding fire on that, because there's so much confusion and so much smoke as to exactly what, you know, what happened.
Oh,
so far,
I
haven't heard anybody
right.
that said anything that I would consider to be even remotely convincing about the president's intent, because they're all getting it second and third hand, and our foreign relations exercises are always exercises in, we need you to do something, so we're going to give you something, and if you don't do what we want, then we're not going to give you something.
You know, well, Lou, the most astounding thing of this whole mess is, and I got to get your email, because I got your other ones at all your different law firms, the most amazing article that I read, I'm sure I sent it out, I don't know if I can find it, was the one about the guy went through how these phone calls, you know, there hasn't been a taped phone call since 1974.
No, I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
When Trump bleats out yesterday like a big bazoo that he is, we got to read the transcript. I'm for the first 3 months of this going on, I'm sitting there like a big dummy that I am, I guess, And I go, one of these days, they're just going to get in front of the committee in Congress, and they're going to play the damn tape. And hopefully the Democrats are going to say, eh, it's not so bad. Or the Republicans are going to say, that's pretty bad. It should be very obvious just by listening to it. There isn't one.
No, I know there's not. Yeah.
Which is,
I knew that.
So when Trump talks about reading the, you read the transcript, the people that took the transcript were terrific Americans or the greatest people on earth. And then when you have other people that say they heard the phone call and the transcript doesn't match the phone call, they both could be very well true, Lou.
Well, as I understand it, what we've got are, you know, notes taken simultaneously by several people that, you know, they try to distill down into, here's what he said, here's what he said.
No, actually, since I opened this, you didn't get the article I sent. This is what happens. If I'm talking to you, I'm the president, and you're the president of Ukraine, everything that I say, there's a guy on our end, there's a guy on both, for both guys, there's a guy and a guy. Everything I say, the person on this end, it's my guy, repeats what I just said, allegedly word for word, into a translator that spits out the text. There's another guy who repeats everything Erdogan says, or maybe his translator says or whatever, and there's a text popping out that way. So there's two separate texts coming out of the phone call. There's not a tape of us talking back and forth together. And at the end of it, then right. the guy gets the text, and he looks at it and says, well, that's not right. He essentially fixes it or you know, proofreads it, for lack of a better term. Then it, like, goes to somebody else and somebody else. It's not – so when Trump says, here's the transcript, that's their version of the conversation. But there's also a bunch of other people on the call. Pompeo was on it. There are probably, like, 20 people that are on the call that are all remembering what they heard. And if it's different than the text, so for somebody to be a whistleblower and say, that's not what the man said, the text said that he mentioned this twice, I could have sworn I heard it five times, that's not impossible, Lou. Sort of look at the text.
It's not impossible, but the really stupid thing about this whole exercise and why I think it's a nothing burger is that everybody, all the testimony that I see that everybody says is damaging is all going to what they thought Trump, the president, thought or what the president meant. And you know, I'm sorry, that wouldn't be allowed in court because it's inherently unreliable. And it's a function, as you know, it's a function of who's doing the listening.
Do you have any doubt in your legal, honest mind that I've known you for this long, do you have any doubt that Trump absolutely, in his state of mind, the way he is, thinks that money is his to give, and he should get something for it, just like a real estate? Do you have any doubt that if he thought he could do it, he wouldn't do it?
I don't understand the question.
I'm
but,
saying that
but I
in
do
terms
believe,
of motivation,
I do believe
we're not talking
the
about
president.
We're not talking about John Kennedy or Abraham Lincoln. Do you think that if he?
Right, had, I, if oh he no, had, I know. I know. I do believe that the president, you know, he's like I said, he's got his focus is his ideology is that of a businessman. So everything for him is a deal.
And he's also a megalomaniac.
With good reason, he wanted Ukraine to dig into whatever had gone on there in 2016 and what had happened with Biden and what kind of deals were going on. So he had a good picture of exactly what was happening for no other reason than that was going or that inquiry was directed at what was undermining his presidency.
But
there's no question in my mind. He probably, that was his intent. I don't think that's illegal. I don't think that's improper. His interests, this is what I think people don't want to face up to. His interests, his personal interests, dovetail very neatly with national interests on this point.
Well, so did Rob Blagojevich, and he's in jail.
Well, but Blagojevich's interests were not dovetailing with the interests of the state of Illinois.
He wanted to get the best senator.
Scott Adams put this very nicely. He said, look, either as a result of what Trump asked the Ukrainians to do, we would know that A, Biden had done something improper by trying to double deal with this company and by trying to screen his kid and by engaging in some kind of undue influence with the Ukrainians, either it happened or it didn't happen. So which one of those outcomes is impeachable?
Lou, I don't know any. I don't know any of the facts. I'm honestly hoping that when they're done at the end of the day, but I'd rather have it be the former, that they don't come up with enough evidence to really be evidence, and the Democrats say it's just not enough. Let's just win at the polls.
They won't do that.
The word I used was hope. Or if they actually do find something that's nasty in there, like the Nixon creation, that the people in the Senate say, you know what, it's too much.
That's
the system.
Correct. I mean, that's ideally, then that's what's so weird about this thing. Again, I go back to Turley, who made the comment in one of his columns that when you're going to do an impeachment, you do it on a broad base, and you do it in a way that's understandable. So that, I mean, I heard Tony Kornheiser, and then I want to move to Colin Kaepernick real quick. I heard Tony Kornheiser say, somebody explain to me exactly what we're impeaching him for, because it's not clear.
No.
And he's right. It's not.
I actually found more stuff.
Bill Clinton, I could understand why they were going after Bill Clinton. And I agreed with it at the time, and I still do.
I found more impeachable with Trump yesterday in the news conference with the guy from Turkey than I did in anything in the Ukraine, to be honest with you. So I'm not arguing with you. My point is every little thing we're talking about, to go back to your comment earlier, these things all talk together. Now if Hunter Biden, is that his name? Hunter Biden, all of a sudden is living in some huge house someday and he's got $30 million. That's what these younger people are seeing. They're saying
exactly.
They're saying that's ill-gotten. They look at Trump stuff. did he really earn that dough? they're getting this view, and the people that are getting washed out with the bathwater are the people that actually did earn the dough and deserve it.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that goes back again. That's why I say a lot of this is just good old fashioned jealousy and you know, life is unfair, and I, you know, hey, I've got my participation trophy. How come I'm not making money off of this? I think that's fair. Let me give one final comment. I want to come back to that.
All right, give me one final comment on this. Is at some point, though, they don't want our discussion earlier where I did disagree. They don't want the chairman of Commonwealth Edison going to jail. Necessarily, they want their electric bill to be minus $10 for a year. They want their money back, Lou, because they don't have it. The people are struggling. They don't have it.
I'm fine with that. Force Commonwealth Edison to give $20 back, but I want somebody in jail so I don't have to.
I'm with you.
5 years,
and I want the board guys.
I know over and over again.
Yeah, I want to go to Kaepernick.
Okay, so I look at Colin Kaepernick, the situation where the NFL has now set a workout for him on Saturday. They did not do this at the request of teams. They did not do this with coordination with teams. They just said, we're going to put a private workout in place in Atlanta, and you can send whoever you want to it. And my immediate reaction with this was, this is like a heroin addict. You cannot stop sticking this needle in yourself, this Colin Kaepernick needle, and jamming in more dangerous poisonous substances into your culture. This guy is trouble and is a problem and has been a problem from day one. They mishandled it on day one. If I were the owners, I'd be firing Roger Goodell right now again. He mishandled it on day one. He mishandled it on day 30. He mishandled it on day 180. They have mishandled it from the very beginning, and now they continue to mishandle it.
I don't obviously have a personal problem with it, but I have a problem with it because you couldn't stop the guy from being a traitor. You couldn't stop him from being a lawyer. You couldn't stop him from running for office for what he did. Yet the theys, who the monopoly that runs football, seem to think that they should be able to stop him from being a quarterback. Lou, that sucks.
But no. Yeah, I see. I categorically reject that. this is not a collusive. I don't believe this is a collusive effort. He's made himself. Kaepernick made himself radioactive, and he made himself radioactive despite the incompetence of the NFL, which should have just the minute he refused to stand for the national anthem, should have simply said, "Fine, that's a one game suspension and $500,000." And if you do it again, that's another game suspension, and we'll let the union try to deal with this. But we think this falls right squarely within the context of our contract.
All right, I got a question for both of you dudes. First guy I ran to last night, so what do you think about the Colin Kaepernick thing? And if the Bears don't hire him, they're out of their mind given the two schlumps they got. And what do you think this does to Bear fans, Manny, if Sunday Colin Kaepernick runs out on the field?
Good question.
Well, what's the answer?
I mean,
he hasn't played in 3 years. I can't imagine that he would be that good. Yeah. But you know, I think I agree with Chief in that. I think he has the right to work. I think we all have the right to work. But I also think owners of teams
have the right.
They have a right to
have the right not to hire him,
and they have a right not to hire him. So there you go.
I mean, my take on it. Trust me, if Colin Kaepernick's playing ability, I think this is the way the teams evaluate it. This is Tim Tebow all over again. If Colin Kaepernick's playing ability was enough to offset the uproar and the distraction and the circus that surrounds him when he comes onto the field and joins a team, if it was enough to offset that, teams would have hired him a long time ago. The same thing happened with Tebow. You know, there was a circus around Tim Tebow, and the clubs didn't like it, and he wasn't a good enough quarterback to offset that. So they didn't hire him. Do you think there was collusion on Tim
Tebow?
Kaepernick
go from being so good?
He won a playoff game, for heaven's sake.
How did Kaepernick go from being so good to being not so good so fast? Was it this Harbaugh system?
That happens to a lot of guys.
Well, I understand, but he
led his team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, probably the 15th best quarterback in the NFL, which is certainly not bad. It's actually very good. Now he can't even get a backup job, which is...
What do you think the change?
What do you think the decision looks like? It's, can this guy help us at quarterback? Yeah, he can. Okay, so we'll factor that in at a factor of like 3 or 4 maybe out of 10. Now, what happens when we bring him into the team? Well, he's a lightning rod. Our fan base will erupt. They'll scream, they'll shout, they'll say, "We don't want that guy out here." The guy was responsible, and the idiots that followed him were responsible for a 16% to 20% drop in our viewership over 2 years. Why would we want to bring that back in here in exchange for a 3 or a 4 level quarterback?
Well, that's the
discussion.
They got other thugs in there, and this guy's not even a thug.
Some thug that's ignited a national firestorm? I don't think so.
Who's the guy who just got fired from the one place because he said we love the girlfriend beater because he had a big game and was he yelling at the women reporters? We love this guy.
I thought that was a mistake too, overreaction. But
that was the Astros.
Regardless,
yeah, that was baseball.
I mean that can get you fired. That kind of idiocy will get you fired.
And it did get him fired.
It did get him fired. And I think that. You know, Kaepernick's level of foolishness is
well.
Exactly
we'll talk about it more next week.
I just don't understand why the NFL has opened that can of worms again.
I don't either. But I want you to next week. Let's talk about this Memphis thing. Talk about a can of worms, huh? With the playing.
Yes.
That's for sure. Run that one up the flagpole. That term's an interesting one. Lou, take care of yourself. SP Futures down 450. NASDAQ Futures down 16. Back, Mr. Farihamzi.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. This is Matt Weber. So Freddie Hamzy on the line. S&P futures down 4.
Good morning.
NASDAQ futures down 15. Big movers this morning are Cisco, not so good, down 250 to 45.93. That's 5%, say. Walmart, with good numbers, is up $3 to 124.01. And your big buddy, Jack Ma, Fari.
Yeah, my buddy now.
Says Singles Day sales missed expectations are like $30 billion because it was hot and fell on a Monday. Don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah, shit. Okay. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Don't you guys have a bleep section sitting there?
Yes, we do.
We have a dump button.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go.
Jack, so what's going on?
I thought Jack and I retired.
I thought so, too.
But he still owns
all. Maybe he's going to be entering with Dancing with the Stars or something. I don't know.
Maybe he's entering the
He's a very prolific manager, you know.
Well, he also owns all. Doesn't he personally own all the assets of the place?
I have no clue.
Well,
how are you going to figure that out, what's happening in China?
Well, because when they went.
Who owns who?
No, when they went out, they were listed on New York Stock Exchange, right? But they're this Chinese company.
Hold on.
And I think I think the way that it's worked out, Manny, why don't you kick that up, Baidu, on a Wikipedia, because I have a feeling, I think that when you buy the stock, all you're entitled to is the income stream out of Bermuda or someplace.
Oh, is that right?
And the actual assets are
belong to him?
Belong to him because the Chinese could actually take the assets back.
That's a very interesting.
20 years ago.
What do you want me to look up about Baidu stock?
What you actually own when you buy the stock. I don't think you have any. The whole point is that thing would never have been listed on the stock exchange 20 years ago. I mean, because there's no voting or anything to it.
So why is it listed with us?
Because we wanted the money. Now they're going to list in Hong Kong on top of it.
We used to do reasonably good on the way up, of course, because that's easy.
Yeah.
On the option side of it. And then we got faltered a couple of times, and I said, drop it from the list.
Yeah, they. I mean, we don't really know what you have there. I mean, it would be something that if
that sounds like communism already.
Well, I mean, you have to wonder, Fari, how if this thing with China turns out to be more than just a couple year long tussle now.
What do you mean, the trade?
Well, if it turns out to be more than that, because obviously those guys have territorial ideas over there. It's not just trade with the Chinese. I mean, if you look at
Have you seen what they've done with the military? They've got strategic bombers now.
Yeah.
H-6K, I think, is H-6N now. Strategic bombers with refueling capability.
But
remember the bears that would fly off of the Soviet bears that would fly off of Alaska? Remember, what's her name? Sarah Palin? She could see her with her eyes at 40,000, at 80,000 feet or 70,000 feet.
Yeah.
Well, imagine the Chinese ones coming, with that capability. They got, J-20, the stealth. This is like fifth generation. It computes our F-22. We, in 72, was it 70? Yeah. 72, little that Tricky Dick Nixon knew that he is waking up the sleeping bear or sleeping the panda or whatever. And look what we got.
So. Well, the idea, and please do not trade any of this because I haven't, thank God.
You're just rambling. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm saying if you would have said to me that this was going to happen 3 years ago, the three stocks I would not have bought. Of course, then again, I didn't buy any tobacco stocks, and they did really well for a decade too. I would not have bought Nike. I would not have bought Apple, and I would not have bought Baidu. And for God's sake, those are like the three.
Why not Apple?
Because how tied into they are in China? For God's sake.
Oh yeah, for that part. Right?
Well, I mean,
You know what? The thing about Apple that always gets me. Wish Steve was around to see what has happened there. So.
Well, I mean. People love the stock, keeps going up, but this narrowness in stock and the amount of money that the Fed is pouring in, it's hard to even figure out what the values are. But you also don't want to be shorted. I mean, you know, how can you be shorted? I mean, as long as this keeps happening, I think the momentum is still up to a certain extent.
Yeah, I was trying to bring your chart up right now. I just don't think this trade thing is going to go anywhere. I see it messing up some of my trades. Either up or down, because the bots, they're just monitoring Twitter. They see a word on China trade, they kick in, and it turns out to be half an hour later irrelevant. We're going back to the scene of a crime, we call it, on charts, where you have a sharp drop or sharp rally, and then gives it all back and goes back to where it was. It just manages to get the brokers happier, you know? On the days that they have these bots kicking in, and it's a trade-related issue, and it does one of those, guess what? Next day, I get a box of Godiva from my broker.
Well,
he's so happy.
But the people that are front-running it, the information back and forth, I think I'm going to accuse the Chinese guys of doing worse than we are, middle of the night. I mean, every one of these, in my mind, these governmental announcements is being front-run. But having said that, you know what's interesting, Fari, is that I was listening to CNBC last week, and our buddy Pete, love Pete, Pete Najarian, you know, he and John do the options that, and stock to a certain extent, but, you know, the options that are, a lot of them trade on the offer or the bid or something. By the way, I get all those feeds, and I get the raw feed too, that I don't usually watch the raw feed, but I watch the other stuff, because I like the places where people are buying like 3-4 days in a row, Fari, then I'll try and get some of my people into those. Then there's conviction. Tell you what, you just look at the raw feed. There's guys that go in and buy, you know, 10,000 of some March calls and some weirdo stock. In 3 weeks, not a stock's down to $5. I mean, there's people that piss away a lot of dough at these huge. I mean, I don't know who tells them to make these monster buys or sells. In these, sells it might be a covered right, but I mean, mostly it's on the call side. But some of these stocks, I mean, there were people who were buying this CLF. Is like 736 a few months ago. There were people buying like the 15s, thousands and thousands of them. I'm like, what do these people think they know? And they're all wrong. It's not like they're always right. Anyway, what I'm saying is what Pete was saying last week, and I would love your interpretation of this. He said, all the years they've been doing it, they've never seen the unusual option activity so short term. Where on Tuesday, they'll have huge call buying and, you know, pick, you know, XYY. But they're for Friday or for next Friday. It's not, they're not investment that we think this company is way undervalued and we want in. It's,
right.
It's, we don't think there's going to be an announcement somewhere on China over the next 3 days and we think we're good for the week or bad for the week. Because we've never seen that. It's this short term. So I've been watching the feeds for the last 2 weeks and he's right. I mean, you'll see 5,000 of Verizon calls like Tuesday were this Friday or something. Mm-hmm. I actually put a position on there. But they're 4 and 5 day trades. And Pico's, all the years we've been doing this, we've never seen that before.
Yeah.
He's like, nobody trusts the market.
I haven't done, you know, I'm really been concentrating a lot on the block trades on the future side.
Yeah.
And then a little bit on the individual names. So we have an array of parsing algorithms are running. Our limitation of CPU, basically. And then we share it openly on Twitter. I haven't done much on option blocks. I don't know if you know or not, but the first code for the HeatSeeker, I wrote that for John. We were doing some work at Exxon. In fact, I used to go back to Pete all the time because he was more available on Mercury Desk. You know, I would call in if there was an issue. But anyhow, that whole concept was, when we got into trouble was seeing it forward. Okay, that is setting it up such that it could take the pattern and predict the next block is coming. All right, on a given option. The problem was you really need to do like add the monies. You can't go too far. Why? Because it becomes very sporadic, and your Kono probability collapses.
Right.
Okay. It collapses. It widens so much. It is no meaningful Kono probability. But at the money you could on certain names, but you could see the combination permutation of it. You're looking at you need something like an NSA computer set up. On the end of that famous parking lot underneath, they have all those crays. You know what I do. Yeah. How many at the money options we have out there sitting there? Calls and puts, all these active names. Mission possible, right? There, because you need a neural net to look at a pattern before the trigger happened, all right? The problem is those events that led to the option block that was large that you noticed could be anything. Could be news, could be price, could be other option activity, okay? It's just a combination of information that is just huge.
Well, but, this all started, Fari, from a...
Pardon me?
There was a machine called the... not Trade Station...
LIM?
No, I had the thing forever. But they used to allow you to do these search programs, and you could actually...
It's LIM, Logical Information Machine. Actually, Tony Colton did that. He's one of my PMT customers.
Something track data.
We talk daily.
Track data was the one. This is before...
Oh, no, but the recent ones was, which you need a really linguist to manage it. Typically, you want to have like somebody with a master's or a PhD in...
Oh, I understand, but what...
Catch this. English language. It's the way you ask the question matters.
Well,
okay?
I'm talking about 35 years ago. The track data.
It was the first
machine that allowed you to do searches.
Yes, yes. The latest one, this incarnation of that, it was done in Chicago called LIM, Logical Information Machines, and Tony sold it for like $52 million to somebody, and now he's relaxing, sitting back and playing around a little bit with the trades here and there. But yes, you could do that, but this is what you run a query there, okay? What we have tried to do on the future side, it runs it indefinitely, okay? As I turn on the machine, the feed is coming in, starts looking. The problem you basically have is just that, and we actually now beginning to pick up the direction also. Not just what the block is, but what direction is coming from. Is it sell or a buy? Now, the other day, actually, somebody asked me on Twitter saying, hey, this block came, which side was it? I said, you know what? I'm giving you the sizzle. The steak is in the chat room. Okay? Somebody's got to pay for this. I'm not a dummy. You get the sizzle because it gives you a trigger, but it doesn't tell you which way. Part of it is we can't type fast enough. So I use the audio because I can See that? These are bars. They come in bars. You could, they're vertical bars, and in color, red or green, and you got gradation of it. Is it how many bars red, how many bars green? So you could see immediately, hey, that, like a Baidu triggered, along with it is Baba and, let's say, Boeing, all right? So you see that combination. Is it red, so it's selling, or is it green? And is it many, many blocks coming, or just one or two? So it's just, the problem, Chief, is that the combination fermentation of it is just huge.
Well, sure it is.
Yeah, and we're a small company.
Well, plus you're also, you know, you're also digging into, you know, Jan maybe had the first one. Well, actually, the guys in the track, they had the first one because they would just identify volume. They'd say, what's the standard deviation of the volume of that particular option in a day? And it was, you know, 2,000 options, and all of a sudden one day it trades 10.
Right.
Well, they couldn't tell you what the direction was. They just knew it traded. So the first guys didn't make any money because they'd go buy them thinking that everybody always bought them, and they didn't always buy them. Sometimes they sold them. So this,
sure,
so this thing had, but the, but now you run into, if you, you know, not going to cast any aspersions or anything, but if somebody whacks one for 3,000 contracts in Verizon in like January, you're going to have a bunch of other people that have those kinds of systems that are immediately going to go buy more of the ones in January. So it might end up being 5,000, but the person who you actually thought knew something and nobody else didn't know, he might have just been the first 1,000, right? And now, now you got the lemmings coming with the rest of them.
And you could be the very last one getting in.
Well, plus, but I don't think I've ever, since I've had this system at my disposal, which has been like a year or so, I've never once bought the option that the, everybody else bought. Sometimes if they drive the volatility, if they go buy a December and run the vol up.
You mean about the January?
Buy the January and sell the one to everybody else is buying.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. So, as I said, the option issue becomes infinitely more difficult in terms of a success rate, in my humble opinion.
Right.
And if you do any spreads on them, now you're dealing with a different delta and theta. What I try to do is try to really concentrate on key names of the stocks, okay, that are big components of a given index. Because you can't watch the index, and it has no volume, I watch its future. So when they lit up, okay, for example, Fangams, I look at FB, Apple, Netflix, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft next to each other, okay, next to that, I'm looking at NQ, the NQ futures. So when they all lit up, I know that I got to make a very pronounced decision instantly on my NQ position. Now, if I'm flat, like this morning, right now I'm flat, I don't give a hoot what it's doing. But once I'm in a position, that kind of a combo, you get an NQ alert on the block size, you get the Fangum individual names on block size, you just can't sit there and hope and pray. This is action time.
You also can
commensurate with your position.
If you really decide, and you have a you know, big enough system, you know, we could probably do it here, but it would take some work. If you were, say, a real fan of Apple,
right,
okay, for whatever Intel, you know, pick a stock. It doesn't really matter which one. Or maybe there's five in the out of the top 25 in the S&P. There's five you like, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I mean. So all of a sudden,
well,
tomorrow,
Boeing, JPM, you know, just take one from each sector almost. That's crucial, you know. I don't know. Give me a technology there.
Well, but I'm
Apple there or Microsoft, yeah.
What I'm saying is tomorrow, if, you know, Trump says up yours to the Chinese and we open down 60 spoos or something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the people that are buying the spoos and selling the S&P 500 or the 100, whatever their basket happens to be, they don't give a rat's fanny about Apple or the stocks you like. They're selling them out at a ratio.
That's right.
They're just doing a hedge.
It's a fancy way of trading a basket.
Right. So you sit there and go, all right, well, Apple's going to be down. Again, I'm not being predictive at all. It could be up 60. But all of a sudden, Apple's down to, you know, 250, which to me is still pretty high. But say you really love Apple, you might say, holy bleep, Batman. You know, I'm going to buy 1,000 shares of Apple down here because I get to, you know, I'm getting it somewhat on sale. And, you know, because it's down not because of anything in Apple. It's down because the Chinese situation and all of a sudden the spoos are down 60. Now, it could turn out later in the day that Trump says, you know, up yours Z or and up yours Apple too, in the horse you rode in it. And the thing could go down another $30. But the fact is, you can why if you like your stocks, when all this is going back and forth, the people who do the basket, they're going to throw out 3M with the bathwater. It's not like, gee, I love 3M, I'm not going to sell it. Hey, if you're buying Spooz down 60 and you're selling the stocks doing the ARB, you don't care about 3M. You'll buy it later in the day. Well, that's a totally separate operation.
Yes. What we did, who was doing this? Ed Thorpe. I'm sure you've heard of Ed Thorpe, Beat the Dealer,
Beat
the Market. Yeah, he was doing basketing in the early ages. And there's a correlation factor. I think on S&P, you get to like 25, 26 names. You got to have like 98% correlation with the index itself. You don't need all 500 names.
Oh.
We just got to figure out which ones they are. You can move that tabulation on the, you know, on Excel. Get the correlation and use the top 25, whatever, 20. You don't need a full 500 name. And then, especially for hedging. And then the other side for NASDAQ, for the NASDAQ 100, for the Qs, for example, I think it's somewhere there about 13 to 12 names, 14 names. If you get those in, boom, you're done. Now, they've made that better. In 2000, because of Apple, Microsoft, not necessarily Apple, hold on. Microsoft, Intel, Oracle and Cisco. These four were something like 80% or 85% of Qs before they re-rated them. Remember that? So everybody was bitching that, hey, three or four names, they can really control Qs, and they did.
Only one of the original...
came and re-rated the component that went into the Qs.
Only one of the original, I say the original FANGs, in 2000, the five that had maybe two of them are above it now. The original five that dominated the QQQ, 46-47%. Well, now there's five that dominate the same way.
Yeah.
Only one of those original five is higher than it was in 2000. Can you name which one it is? Right? I bet you can.
I don't know. You tell me.
Microsoft.
I take a cup of coffee.
Microsoft, Cisco still below. Oracle still below. Intel, I believe, is still below, and I think Dell was the other one, and it's still below.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, Cisco is a shame. Cisco is just
Oracle,
great company, but just
Oracle was 65.
I don't know, but Oracle they manipulated the stuff so much.
Intel was
Cisco is a shame.
Intel's probably close to where it was. Intel, what it was 70 in 2000.
Which one?
Intel.
Oracle?
Intel.
So Cisco,
Oracle, Intel, Dell, and Microsoft were the ones, weren't they?
Yeah. Microsoft came back, but Microsoft didn't come back for several years.
Oh, it was 35 hours for half a decade.
Yes. CSCO. This is Cisco. Yeah, I'm just looking at the monthly chart going back. Yeah, the top there was 82.
Yeah.
Top there was 82. Oracle, as I said, it's a shame, because it's a great company. Oracle went up. Oracle is now just recently. 4 months ago? Yeah, five months ago, it made the all-time high at 60. But that also did not change it. Didn't have a new all-time high until 2015.
Friday's
last 4 years, it's come back, but it sat below it. Intel...
Well, the QQQ... The QQQ,
I'm thinking... All-time high was 75.83.
Didn't the QQQ go from 120?
57 now.
The QQQ went from 120 to under 30.
Yeah.
We had a client, and this is not a good story, but it wasn't me doing it for him. We had a client who retired from Oracle, young, had all his stock, right? When he gets all his stock, his stock's 65, 70-ish. So if he finds me and he goes, come here because I want you guys to help me protect it. I want to buy puts, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So we buy 60 puts. The stock goes from 70 to like 50. So he's down, $20 on his stock, and we're up, whatever, $12 maybe on the puts, 11, but not 20 because he didn't get the ones at the strike. And so we make some of it back. Then he goes, all right, well, it's at 50, I probably don't have to hedge as much, so he buys like half as many puts. So the stock goes from 50 to like 35. So he's down another 15, and we pick up, whatever, 8 or 9, which, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye, but it wasn't like he really wanted to be 100% hedged on this. And Mm-hmm. And like half the stuff finally goes at 40 or 35. No way Oracle's going any lower than that. I don't want any puts anymore. Where does that go? 8 or 10 or something? I mean, it was brutal. Yeah. So even though we...
Well, look at the Qs.
Yeah.
Qs, the peak that made was around 100, okay? And,
it was over. It was like 120.
Pardon me?
I thought it was like 120 or 115 or something.
No, it was 120. Hold on. I'm just looking at it right now. 120. Sorry. 121.
I got a pretty good memory
for it. It did not come back to reach there till the Guampina got elected.
Right. And where was the low? 27, 28, something like that?
The low, no, it's below that. Hold on.
This is an index.
The low was right here on the the October of 02, and it was 1940, 1939.
Well, what I wanted to mention, Farah, is you were with a...
And by the way, let me say this, full disclosure. My sister sat through that. She has a hard time selling. So I got her in like a 99-ish, but she did not... She did not sell it. She just said, I don't give a damn. Just put it in a shoebox.
Farah, there's a lot of
people... She still owns it. It's ridiculous. Opportunity cost, how much she lost.
Farah, there's a lot of people...
Let's not open that Pandora's box with her.
There are people who would buy Matt Weber Inc. at $50, and if their great-grandkids sold it for 50 and an eighth, 30 years from now, I think they made money.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. I made money on this one. Okay. I guess you did. You know, back yourself out. Go have a shot on me. You know, what do you want me to tell you? But, you know, you were mentioning how the baskets, you gotta be careful when you do these baskets if you do anything like that. I mean, I imagine most of the, as Farah was talking about, you could probably, if you're gonna hedge the QQQs, you probably could do it with 5 or 6 stocks and get half of it or more than half.
Yeah.
But back when Persian War number one, it was an odd situation for it. Remember the XMI?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? I traded that through, what do you call it? First Gulf War. Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah, so there was an odd situation.
91, January 91. That was a beast.
But the individual stocks had implied volatilities like twice the XMI index.
Yeah.
So Dr. J and I threw some money in an account, and I went and I hedged every single one where I hedged the... I sold premium in the stocks and bought premium in the index.
Okay.
And the interesting part, and we did real well. I mean, and I'm not saying it wasn't $1 million or anything, but we did...
The event, you knew the event, that could do it.
We thought what the worst that could happen, the best could happen is we make 10 grand, we made like 30. You know, which is pretty good. But yeah. I went through, you know, Johnny's lack of attention to detail is a little different than mine. I went through, fine, because it was a price-weighted index.
Right.
I went through, if I would have forgotten two or
just
three...
Just like now, it's price-weighted.
But if I had forgotten two or three of the right stocks, I'd have lost money. American Express...
Now, they're not trading that anymore, right?
I don't think so. But American Express and like 200s, I made all my money in three of the stocks.
No, I'm saying XMI isn't around anymore, is it?
No.
I haven't seen it.
All right, Farah, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Be good.
You got it. Thanks.
S&P Futures down 575, NASDAQ Futures down 19. Be right back, Mr. David Andelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. He's Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. David Animal in a second. S&P futures down 5. The other futures down 15. Maddie, too young for you, but there was a group, Black Sabbath, that made this song way back in the day, The Rebel. Thought from the day, it's not rebels that make trouble, but trouble that makes rebels.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
It's good.
See, Dow futures are down 41 over in Europe. We've got the DAX down 51.4%, FTSE down 23.3%, Kekron down 3, call that flat, so slightly lower over there, not major. Nikkei down 178.7%, Shanghai up 4.2%, Hang Seng though down again, 247. It's almost a full 1%. Bonds going the rates going the other way today. They're going back down a little bit. 10-year 1.84. The Bund is minus 0.32. It's got as high as minus 0.25, I believe. Japan now minus 0.07. They got to minus 0.04. Gold up almost $7, 1470. Still nowhere near $1,500 number was a while ago. And silver up 8 cents, but still slightly under 17. It was over 18 a couple of weeks ago. Oil up 36 cents. The new range seems to be higher here. We were talking 52 to 55 for a while. Now it looks like it's 54 to 58 and a half maybe. So maybe the range is up a couple of bucks. Natural gas 265. Not really a shot in here considering how cold it is. I mean, everybody thinks this must be, for next week, natural gas is telling us we're back to our short sleeve shirts, man. I don't know if I buy that or not. Our Bob 163, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. And so what do you think? Give us the Colin Kaepernick signs with the Bears. Starts Sunday. Does anybody show up?
I think people would show up, but I don't think it's going to happen. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. A couple of issues already to report this morning, as have been surfacing throughout the morning. New one here on the Eisenhower, outbound at Route 83, there is a tire in the center lane that folks are having to navigate around, and that's causing all kinds of delays. I assume crews are on their way to get that out of the way, but right now it's causing slowdowns on the westbound Ike, so keep that in mind if you're heading outbound on I-290.
Do you think there's a car without a tire, or this tire came off of something else?
There's probably a car without a tire somewhere. Maybe a spare fell off the back, I don't know. South side, no issues coming in on the Dan Ryan. We do have that issue on I-57, though. A crash northbound just before the CalSag Channel has the two left lanes blocked. I-80 to the Dan Ryan is up to 31 minutes and growing, so expect delays as crews work to get that accident cleared. Out near Joliet on I-80, there's a disabled semi blocking the right lane on the westbound side of I-80 just before Guger Road. That's causing congestion on I-80. Off the expressways, a couple of issues to report. North Avenue at West Avenue in the western suburbs, there's a crash. And looks like just west of that, near Carroll Stream, Gary Avenue at Lies Road, there is an accident. And just west of that, Route 59 at Army Trail Road, out near Bartlett Streamwood area, there is a crash as well. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds early, and then we could see some sunshine this afternoon. We get above freezing for the first time in a few days, so that'll be nice. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 34. Right now it's overcast and 28 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 82. Right now it's clear and 54. In sports, the Blackhawks finally beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights after 7 tries. It took the 8th try to do it, and it took 5 straight goals after falling behind 2-0 last night. They beat the Knights 5-3 in Vegas. Coyotes were off. Bulls were off. They're at the Bucks tonight, 7 p.m. tip-off. Suns were off, too. They'll host the Atlanta Hawks tonight, 7 p.m. Arizona time tip. And lastly, it was Northwestern over Providence in college hoops, 72-63. Chief.
Did you ever see a car whack into a rolling tire?
Can't say I have.
It's not a good sight. I saw that.
I imagine the tire flips in the air and hits other cars.
It does not. Well, this didn't. I was at Raceway Park as a Ute. There used to be this little stock car track. To say the clientele, David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
To say the clientele at these places, Matty, was something that would be a period piece is an understatement. You had Raceway Park. Then you had US 30 Drag Strip and Santa Fe Speedway. The people would go to these things and watch this stuff. It was like a let's put it this way, it was like a Grease movie without the good looking people. It was really something. And without Elton John, or not Elton John, what's her name? Olivia Newton John.
Olivia Newton John.
No
John Travolta.
No John Travolta. And all of a sudden, this wheel, of course, these are pretty big, heavy, you know, stock car tires, is rolling this car coming around the curve, pretty good miles an hour. You know, it's maybe the wheels maybe go, the tire's probably rolling at it maybe 10, 15 miles an hour, and the guy hits it dead amidships. The car went up in the air about 15 feet, the whole front end. It landed back down. The tire, headed off toward the side, but it didn't fly like I thought the tire would, like you, would head up into the stands or something. It didn't. But the car, that guy could have landed on the top. His top just easy to get it back on the wheels. It was sitting there going, well, I saw that once, and I'm like, don't ever hit a rolling tire in your car thinking you're going to come out of it. The thing's 100 and some pounds.
Right.
You know, it's, anyway. But Raceway Park was quite the place. And one of my buddies went to Santa Fe Speedway, and he goes, I couldn't get the taste of rubber out of my mouth for like 3 days. Because if all he did was burn rubber and the dragsters, it's just hanging over the place. It's in your clothes. It's, God, it was awful.
I've never been to a race of any kind except for horse race and a dog race.
Nobody left around. I guess the Joliet's still there. The big, huge
that's
speedway.
That's a big
thing.
One there, yeah. Like they have a NASCAR event there.
Yeah, well, that's a massive deal.
Yeah.
But on these other ones, I mean, there used to be Santa Fe Speedway. And interesting part about politics, all this ties together. Santa Fe was right between. David, was it Burr Ridge and whatever the other town was? And they fought?
I don't know. I never was. But, well, they still have those demolition demonstrations in Rosemont, where they get these cars rolling over tires and, up ramps and then tires flying at them. They have that like once or twice a year. And I've never been, but evidently they're well attended.
The Santa Fe Speedway operated between 1953 and 1995.
And when it was done,
southwest corner of 91st Street and Wolf Road in the Willow Springs area.
Well, Willow Springs and Burr Ridge fought over the property. They had a huge piece of property. I'm going to say a decade before, I don't know who ended up winning, who got to develop it, Willow Springs or Burr Ridge. But they were locked in a legal battle over the property. It was right between the two, and it was unincorporated. So to say they had the gloves off fighting over is an understatement. Because, it had to be, I don't know if it was a square mile, but it was probably half a square mile. It was a big, big piece because they had parking and all the other stuff. Where was the US 30 was on US 30. That was and then it was Raceway Park and, a couple other, but it was a
there
big.
There was 87th Street Speedway.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I've heard of it. I never went there.
Yeah.
But, so David, what do we got going here? We've got, the Fed coming out with their story yesterday and, we're never going to raise rates again, and we're going to do this and that. And
part two today. Now here's the question. I think you know the answer in this, two-part testimony of the Fed chief to, first a joint session of Congress and then the House Budget Committee, I think. What was this testimony originally called?
Was it Humphrey Hawkins?
And what was the function?
It was it Humphrey Hawkins?
It was Humphrey Hawkins.
Yeah.
Well, and what was the yearly testimony supposed to be? I mean, it was signed into law as this was the function of the Fed chief to come on 2 days to Congress and testify about the Fed's.
Well, I think they're just their monetary. It was like the Fed's answer to the State of the Union address. You got to come tell us what you're doing once a year.
No, that is not what it was.
Really? Okay. Well, educate me.
It was signed into law that the Fed chief would come on 2 days to congressional committees to portray and talk about the Fed's efforts to put pressure on the Treasury to balance the budget.
Okay, and he refused to say anything like that yesterday.
Oh, they haven't done it for years.
Well, they
it's
kept
not
asking.
Even called Humphrey Hawkins anymore, but it's still part of law.
When did it stop? Up until a couple years ago, they would still say Humphrey Hawkins' testimony. But
they'd still call it Humphrey Hawkins, but it has to be 15 years, 20 years, where they haven't, the idea of balancing. But, I mean, isn't the last balanced budget or surplus budget Clinton?
Yeah, and that was kind of phony, but yeah. Well, it wasn't phony. I mean, the numbers were right, but that was had to do with the, a lot of it had to do with the dot bomb, where the guys that made money had to pay, and the guys
right.
that lost couldn't get the deduction.
Right.
There's always a you know, like a however and all this stuff, isn't there?
But isn't it funny that it was written into law, and there's been no compliance for more than a decade?
Did you hear him take a shot at me yesterday?
No. Oh, yes.
Yes.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. With that money supply is kind of covered wagon type of things and really doesn't have much to do with asset prices.
Which is
I thought of you.
I know. He said, the guy says, well, by using the old metrics, he goes, we don't use the old metrics anymore. Now, my question is, why do you dump the old? He goes, now we just look at pricing. What does that even mean? He is correct in the sense that the times have changed in the sense you put so much money out and then you take it all back in. I mean, M0 at one point, which is the amount of banks put back on deposit in the Fed. My buddies the Fed told me for like a week, this is a year or two ago, maybe more like 5 years ago when we were at the heights of our issues, that M0 was bigger than M1.
Huh.
So when you start talking about the money kicking back at them, essentially they put it in the system and they take it out. So I get that, but you can't tell me that the amount of money in the system vis-a-vis other goods and services, that the value of the money is somewhat derived from its scarcity. That if you double the money, everything is going to go up in price. I mean, that hasn't changed.
I
mean, there's no way that changed.
And I mean, I'm not a fundamentalist, and you know multiples of what I know about this, but it sure makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to talk about, since you put some money in, does the velocity drop? The identity of economics, okay, I'm gonna kick me, throw me off, man, if I do more than 15 seconds on this. The fundamental equation is the amount of goods, your GDP basically, times the price level is equal to the amount of money in the system times the amount of times it turns. So the money supply times the velocity is equal to the amount of goods produced times the price level. Correct? It has to be, right? Because
right.
I mean, everything has to be bought with something, with money. So if you've got, you know, a $20 trillion GDP, real GDP, and you've got $5 trillion in money out there, it has to have spun four times to have been spent 20 billion times, right? 20 trillion
right.
times.
20 trillion.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so whenever you raise one and the other one doesn't go up, you're going to have a problem. So if your velocity stays the same, which it did for a long time until the Fed started paying interest at night, if your velocity stayed the same and you increased the money supply faster than the GDP, it would spit out in the price level because it has to equal. Correct?
Does debt enter into
no.
that at all?
No.
No. Okay.
It's still the amount that spends. I mean, obviously, that's a very simple calculation, and how do you get to it? How do you really know what the price level is vis-a-vis the real amount of widgets? I mean, it's sort
right.
of a conceptual type equation, but it makes sense. You know, and all your other equations kind of flow from there. I mean, obviously, if there's 20% of your economy's barter, well, then the equation falls apart, right?
Right.
You know, which would be what happens if, like, you take cash out of the system, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't really want to be paying you income tax and mowing your lawn, so why don't you paint my house and I'll mow your lawn for the summer? You'd start to see that if you pulled cash out of the system. Maybe you already are, but you definitely would, right?
Nice 15-second discussion.
Yeah. Well,
I learned a lot. I'm happy.
Well, I mean, it's you can't just say economic principles don't count. I mean, they've counted for...
And I mean, that's kind of, in an off way, that's kind of what I heard him saying.
Yeah, I mean, we're rolling with this one.
It's a new frontier, and so it really doesn't matter. Really?
Yeah, it's a new frontier until it isn't.
Yeah, really, until it isn't.
And I mean,
at least he did say that, you know, federal debt is rising at a much faster pace than GDP, and that cannot go on forever. At least he said that. I mean, he didn't, you know, talk much about corporate or consumer debt, but at least he pointed to that.
Well, there's two things that frost me when I listen all day, which is what I do for clients, and you do the same thing. The total lack of any knowledge of the real price level bothers the hell out of me, as everybody knows. But the other one, really is the idea. Well, the price level is the big one. Okay, but they also don't seem to get that is there such a thing as pure Keynesian economics, pure fiscal policy? Well, there isn't. There isn't, David. I mean, I listened to the luncheon thing with Dr. J and those guys. They must have talked. I was tempted to start texting John, or not texting, but emailing him. But I don't want to do that when he's on there. I want to say, John, these guys around you, they're not idiots, first of all. They're bright people. And they're obviously good traders. They don't get it. The Keynesian idea is that you go out and tax people, not tax people, you go out and sell bonds, okay? You essentially borrow the money from your population, and then the government spends it all. Okay, now,
right.
how do you gain, and what have you really done there? You've taken money from Matt Weber, who bought the $100,000 bond from you. You've taken his money, because his check now clears into your account, correct? I mean, that's the thing. Nobody ever takes this down to the fundamentals, and I don't know how you ever understand it unless you actually go through, how does this actually work? Right, Matty Weber's $100,000 now resides with the government. Federal, state, local, doesn't matter. Now, the government's going to spend it, because they spend everything, right? Now, how do you...
And more.
Let's just say it's even, all right, which would be the Keynesian idea, it's even. Now, how do you actually gain from that, okay? Because it sounds like it's a zero-sum game, right? You're taking $100,000 from Maddie and you're spending it. Well, there was a time, and even today, you could probably say the savings rate, you know, for Maddie and the fiancé, because they're pretty responsible people, that there was a time when Maddie with $100,000 would save 15% of it. So there's a savings rate. Now, your savings rate also equals your capital expenditures, right? Your investment. Because that's the money that people are investing in. They're going to borrow from if Matt Weber didn't give it to the government, if it's in the bank, they're going to borrow from that bank, and that's where you get the new building. So you can,
right.
I mean, this is not that difficult. If you just follow the money, it's not that difficult. So what does the government gain this year? They gain because they can take that $15,000 that Maddie would have saved, and they can put it into current consumption. Right? So they're going to spend it this year. So instead of $85,000 being spent this year, which Maddie would have, and put the other $15,000 in the bank, which of course somebody else would then go get, maybe build a building that takes 5 years to build. But you gain current consumption. Correct?
Right.
Now, maybe it's a bad idea if you do it every year, because now guess what? You don't have any investment, because you're spending it all. Now, maybe you're investing in roadways and other ways. You might get it back that way. So that's another issue. But the bottom line is, there's only so far you can go with this Keynesian fiscal policy. because there's not enough money there. If you take all the $100,000 out of Matty Webbers and the David Edelmans and the Chiefs of the world, guess what? They're not spending anything. You don't gain anything, right? Because you just one person spending versus the other. And, you know, you can go with the whole routine about who's better at spending, the government or you, and, you know, let's not get into that argument. So when these guys talk about we need some fiscal policy, the next year they're talking about $1 trillion of, quote, fiscal policy, meaning there's going to be a deficit of they're going to borrow $1 trillion worth of money, okay, and they're going to go spend with. Now, the problem there is they don't want that to come out of consumption. Because what they're saying is the Fed is now, just basically said 3 weeks ago, we're going to cover three quarters of that. We're going to increase the balance sheet $60 billion a month for the next year, which gets you to like 750. So they're really going to have to only, they're going to go out and borrow $1 trillion, all right, through the Treasury. But the Fed is going to turn around and turn on the printing press, and they're going to buy $750 billion of those bonds, maybe not the same ones, but indirectly through the system, from the Fed, from the Treasury. So they only have to cover from borrowing the other 250. So there is no such thing as being Keynesian policy without the monetary policy helping you. Or else,
right.
Can you imagine if they just went out and borrowed $1 trillion from the population next year and without any increase in the money supply at all? What that would do to the economy? Good Lord.
Well, then you take Elizabeth Warren and, you know, oh, we're going to make healthcare for all and, you know, Medicare for all, and, you know, the estimates are whatever, $20 trillion over 20 years or whatever, and, you know, where's the money going to come from? Oh, I'm going to tax the billionaires, you know, 2 to 8% extra, you know, and we're going to mark everything to market, even if the assets haven't been cashed in. It will come nowhere near the cost of what you're trying to do.
I would agree, but in my new shtick, David, Matty thinks I'm nuts, which he's probably right. My new shtick is instead of listening to the dumb solutions these people have, and she's got a lot of dumb solutions in my mind.
I agree.
Listen to what she's actually saying, and listen where she's coming from. Because we talked about this with Lou, the wealth people. Not everybody thinks that all this wealth has been. I'm not going to go through this again. Has been a lot of they think those gains have been ill-gotten. Now, whether they are or whether they aren't, that's up for debate. But now the other part of it is, if you were to listen, and I'm not even going to put words in your mouth, of your whole generation. In our generation, David, we are convinced that anything done in the private sector is more efficient than government doing it, correct? So we are appalled at the idea.
I don't know about anything, but in general, yes.
Yeah, in general, yes. I mean, not, you know, military or stuff, but in general, yes. Yet younger people look at, they have a much, I'm going to say, fresher view of this stuff. They look at the current healthcare system with these insurance companies making a frigging fortune, and the highest paid people in the industry being the chairman of the four biggest insurance companies or whatever, it's pretty close, and the next being the hospital directors, not the doctors. And they look at it and they go, Medicare seems to be working better than that, actually. Why do we think that government, one single payer, could possibly be worse? Why don't we just take this entire insurance layer out of here? You know, I would much rather go the other way.
Fact of the matter is the United Healthcare's and the Humana's and the Anthem's and the like, they are what actually administer the Medicare program.
Well, I get all that, but I'm saying,
I think to
go ahead, Matty, talking for you, talk for yourself.
Well, I just think to summarize, I think a lot of young people, and I think I put myself in this category, just believe that healthcare is a right. That it's no different than police or fire or, like you said, military. We have a right to it, and we should all pay for it, and that's it.
Well, and
simple as that. And get the insurance companies completely out of
it. But it isn't that simple, because the administration, all you have to do is go to Canada, and they have the same idea, and you go there for minor surgery, and you can wait 7 weeks whether you need it now or not. So the administration, it's all well and good philosophically, but when it comes to actually administering it, France, Canada, you name it, they've had a terrible, terrible record of being able to administer it. And I'm not so sure that our government would do any better job.
I hear those same stories too, and I'm sure there's definitely some truth to that, but I think it's highly exaggerated. I'm in Canada all the time, and you talk to people, and they're like, they basically laugh at the U.S. and say, "What are you guys talking about? If something's important, you're not waiting for anything."
Okay.
Now I don't like I said I hear those stories too, David, and I'm sure there's some truth to it, of course. But across the board, I don't think it's that.
Well, David,
Canadian people live longer, they're healthier, they have a higher quality of life,
and the size of Canada's population versus ours.
Is different, yes, but you brought up Canada, not me. I mean,
no, and I'm getting it. But if there's 10% problems, which I think that there's more, and then you multiply the population by 15, and this government, other than you know some aspects of Medicare, and even there, you know the loss and waste is prohibitive. I just think that you make it for all instead of over a certain age group. I think the problems become multiplied.
I think,
and you may very well be right, but my point is that there's inefficiencies in everything. There's inefficient. I mean, the healthcare market now is not great, and 10 years ago before Obamacare, it was not great. And
right.
if they try this, maybe it won't be great. Maybe it'll be the same. Maybe it'll be better. I have no idea. But right. The other things that we subsidize, Medicare. A lot of people like Medicare. Police and fire department, military, all these other programs that are subsidized, a lot of people like those. There's certainly inefficiencies in all of those things. We get that. But people, I think younger people believe healthcare of all things is a right, and it doesn't make any sense that you're paying $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 for something that shouldn't cost anywhere near that.
I agree. Philosophically, I agree.
Every year, David, Matty Weber's getting more right on this story. Which I hate to say that.
Now you're both right though. Elizabeth Warren's plan doesn't add up.
No,
I agree with you on that.
But think for a second.
But I think we need to shift our whole mindset on what we are paying for and what's important. And
what we're getting from it.
And what we're getting from it, exactly.
But I'm going to ask David to think outside the box here a little bit, or think outside the city, and think outside of the Cadillac plan. You and I have pretty much had our whole lifetime, right? And I'm going to say that if you and I have a, not that anybody's ever had one like this, if you and I had like a rhythm problem, a heart rhythm problem or something, or one of us gets sick, because of our contacts, because of our insurance, we're going to be seeing a specialist in a week, maybe tomorrow. I mean,
right.
If you live in Gainesville someplace, or in, you're going to go to the local guy and he can see how you're doing. He's going to treat you with this, treat you with that. If it gets a little better, you might see a cardiologist in a month. I'm not talking about if you have a heart attack. And if he says, you need to see one of these electrical guys, you're probably going to get an appointment 3 months from now at the University of Wisconsin. So to assume that because the average Canadian rumor you've heard isn't the same as what you and I get, you can't assume that the rest of this country is in Northwestern tomorrow like you and I are, because it's not.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And do you think that's fair, Matty?
I think that's fair, yeah.
I mean, if somebody has an issue in Iowa where Matty grew up, you're not in the University of Iowa on Saturday unless you had an absolute, unless you got, an aorta ready to go and they'll helicopter there. But you're not, and I think the same thing happens in Canada. If you got a real problem, in Canada, if your son has a knee that needs some cartilage replaced and you want him to be able to play halfback next Saturday, they're going to say there's four guys that are actually working that are ahead of him. He's got to wait till 2 weeks from Saturday. And here, right. That would be an anathema to people. No, my son's got to play halfback next. No, he doesn't.
Right. No, I get it.
So it's, some of this stuff isn't as, time sensitive
as
maybe you think.
It's not time dry. It varies.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It totally varies. But anyway, SP Futures down 6. David, are we going up or down here?
I think we're going to set back a little bit.
I think we are going to. Maybe
2 to 4%.
I don't think anything heavy, though. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks, NASDAQ Futures down 21.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. Cairo Med.
back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.